Thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you, Lord, for every heart, every soul here present. Thank you, Lord, for the finished work of the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the joy of this reality redounding in our hearts constantly, over and over and over again, so that it rings true and clear in our hearts and our minds that we are healed and that healing is ours, and we can bask in the euphoria of knowing you in the place of relationship, in the place of intimacy, walking as healed men, women, boys, and girls, healed in every way, every way whole, in our hearts, in our bodies. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into fellowship and communion with you. Thank you, Father, for the victory that is ours already in Christ. And thank you, Lord, for causing us to always triumph in every way, in every place, over every infirmity, by whatever name, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the manifestations of healing represented in this room, this very hour. Pain's gone. Back pain, done away with. Arthritis, released completely, nullified in effect. Asthma, becoming a thing of the past already by the power and the life of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Migraines, nullified completely, negated in the name of Jesus. Spasms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise, Lord. Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Gail.
In reference to what you said, why we're here, I know sometimes when you're talking to a non-believer and you have something going on, they don't understand when you say, you know, I'm waiting for the manifestation. I am the healed, and they're kind of looking at you like you're crazy. Maybe we need a phrase like, I'm getting my body to line up with the truth of God's word. Something like that. I know I'm healed, but my body's still getting to that point.
Amen. So, thank you, Gil. And from a couple of weeks ago, when we talked about Romans 12, renewing of the mind, it's aligning our minds to come in consonance with the truth represented in our spirits. Perfect, recreated after God, born after God in righteousness and true holiness, every whit whole. And guess what? We've been talking about the heart. Last week we were talking about the heart. Based on what I hope to cover today and next week. By the way, this is Living by Conviction, part 3. And the subtitle is, This Body of Mine. This Body of Mine. Getting our bodies to line up with the truth. The reality, which is within. Which is within. How many know your body hears your heart?
Say that again.
Your body knows what's in your heart and hears your heart. I said hears your heart, but knows. Living by conviction, what's in your heart. And last week, We talked about the importance of getting God's word to penetrate our hearts, to have not just fleeting residence in our hearts, but to be what? Rooted. Grounded. In our hearts. This is crucial, friends. This is important. We were at Proverbs in chapter 4, from verses 20 through 22. Proverbs in chapter 4. And I spent some time looking at a couple of versions to show and describe how that the gateways to our hearts are very important. There were two gateways mentioned last week. What are those gateways?
Our eyes
and your ears.
Eyes and what?
Ears.
Your eyes and your ears. And time will not permit me to delve into that because of where we're headed this morning. However, here's the point. The world, as it were, already throws so much at us as far as information, reports, analysis, as it concerns health, matters of health, well-being, our bodies, and in a way tries to dictate how we operate, what we believe. And so what we feed our eyes, what we constantly hear, has a way of doing what? Seeping into our hearts and having a stranglehold there. And so it becomes important as to what we let in, what we imbibe, what we take to ourselves, consciously, particularly. And sometimes this also happens subconsciously. But we have to be aware. What are we giving ourselves over to? Is it the news reports? Is it the doctor's report? Is it that lab result? Is it that analysis? All that information, all that knowledge, is that what we're taking to ourselves, meditating upon, and then causing to rule? One way or the other, this then gets to have an effect, if not on your stand and stance in faith, on your body as to what you let rule, reign, or operate there. God's word is vital. What we need to pay our attention to, what we need to give ourselves over to. 1 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 15 says, meditate upon these things. What things? From a couple of verses earlier, I mentioned specifically the scriptures, the reading of scriptures privately and then also contextually in public at the time, historically. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly over unto them. That's the word wholly, is the word completely. Over unto them. It says, by so doing, your profit shall be apparent to all. But before your profit is apparent to all, first and foremost, friends, it's apparent to you. Because here I am saying this morning, there are results to be had. Things happen experientially when you give yourself over to God's word. A giving over. Why is this so? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. As an example, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The New Living Translation says, don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Then as you unwrap my words, the Passion puts it, they will impart true life and radiant health into where? The very core of your being. We're talking about God's word. God's word, powerful in impact. Another version says, because they are life, God's word, they're life to those who find them, and they heal the whole body. God's word. Medicine to all your flesh and on and on and on. What is the unique thing that makes the word have this nature, quality of effectiveness, capacity? What makes it?
It's living. It's alive.
It's living. It's alive. What else?
It has power.
Has power.
To do what it says it is.
We're talking about healing. We're talking about health. This is the contemplation. This is what we're trying to have settled in our hearts by way of conviction, based on faith. Thank you for those responses. But in, what is it about the word?
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus. And when you think Jesus, what is the conclusion? For example, let me give a tidbit in there. What's his current, as a word, sometimes we have don't say I told you this, a cheat sheet, right? Or like something that gives you, that spurs you to thinking as far as the answer. What's his current positioning? Status. In relation to, for example, more particularly, the Father. What's he, Hebrews 1, what's he? I can't hear you, Gil.
Seated at the right hand of God. That's already that.
He's seated. What does that positioning tell you?
He's done.
Friends, here's something I want to say. This is an aside. I say Isaiah 55. This was quoted a few weeks ago, and I love it so much. Concerning the word, it says it will accomplish that for which it was what? Sent. And from John 1, we see that Jesus is what? The word. He's the living word. And as the living word, he came and did what?
He accomplished.
So much so that he said what? It is finished. And guess what? Hell, Hades, death could not what? Hold him what? Captive. He did what? He rose again from the dead, implying what? What is the implication of that? This work is finished. This work is done. This work is accomplished. So we must see the word, approach the word from that perspective of, I talked about the finished work, talked about the done reality. So if my stance of faith is, I am the healed of the Lord, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, 24, I'm the healed of the Lord, and as far as faith in expression is on based on my stance that I'm not trying to get, I am healed, getting to see a manifestation based on where I stand in my relationship with him, guess what? That's different and is a game changer. I'm not struggling trying to get. I have. I'm in the position of getting to see the manifestation. I love what Gail said about, you talked about different terminology, correct? And I see how that's so neat because somehow, friends, we get caught up. I want to make it work. But if I keep my heart, my eyes, my ears zoned in on the word as it relates to the finished, as it relates to the done, and I apply it to myself in that way, then I get to see concomitant change in my experience or in my body. So that we know that this is not abstract, let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 2.
What was that again?
1 Corinthians. And chapter 2. I'm going to skip to verse 10. Earlier on it said, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. We see the twin gateways there again and up, you know, being mentioned in mention. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Love him. Verse 10. But God, someone say, but God. But God has revealed them to us through his Son, or through his Spirit. For the Spirit does what?
Searches
all things, yet, yes, the deep things of God. Verse 11, port of call. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have what? Received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We did not receive the spirit of this world system. Let me give it to you from the Amplified. Touch on three words and then anchor this real quickly. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished on us. What has grace lavished on us?
All that Jesus is.
Oh. Amplified says that you might recognize, understand, appreciate what you have within. All of this is codified in his Spirit, and his Spirit dwells where? In you. I said all this to say, friends, we have received. You're welcome. John 1:16, of his fullness we have received. Can you say this after me? I have received of his fullness. I have received of his fullness. I have received. I think it was Carol that said, based on Christ, who all of who Christ is. That's why you're complete in him. Who is the head of what? All principality and power. You are complete in him. And he is where? Living, dwelling, abiding in you by his Spirit. I choose to operate from that perspective that I am the healed of the Lord. You know what? The presence of his life, his nature, his spirit on the inside of you, you know what that connotes? Let's take a good look and good example at all that grace has lavished on you, on me, on us. Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 19. Who knows? Who can say, who has an idea what's in there? Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. As an example, where he talks about all, because this is important to know what we have, to know what we have received, to know what we have residing on the inside of us. This is important. Anyone? Or you can read. Anyone can read.
Exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked or wrought in Christ Jesus when he did what? When he raised him up from the dead. What does that mean? What is the implication of that? What is the purpose of that? Verse 19. I want to read this from Good News, because sometimes, friends, in the King James, or New King James for that matter, the expressions may seem somewhat sometimes difficult or kind of challenging. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Our teacher makes it all clear. And so we can gain understanding, revelation, and insight. It says, "And how great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death and seated him at his right side in the heavenly places, heavenly world." So in a nutshell, the self-same power that raised Christ Jesus up from the dead dwells where? Friends, we have to get this. I want us to think on this for a moment and ponder that. Just as in under the Old Testament, Selah. Can we just pause for a moment and let that sink in? Thank God till tomorrow I didn't put that in there. The self-same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead dwells within you. Please let that sink in. Now, as you think on that, think on, just for a moment, not because we're starting to wanting to meditate on it, think on any matter or anything that may currently be a challenge to you in the area or aspect of health. Now, having looked at that thing or thought about it or whatever, now hear that word again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe? That self-same power is at work in you by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the power of God. Whatever that ailment is vanquished in the name of Jesus, is pulverized into extinction and becomes a thing of the past in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care by whatever name it is called. I don't care how long. When I say I don't care, I don't mean I'm not being sensitive or whatnot, but God's word, God's power, God's life trumps. Yes. Always. And nullifies that thing in effect in the name of Christ. You had something?
Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by that same Spirit living within you. It's the same thing.
Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Friends, are we getting this? Don't worry. We're gonna continue on. We're gonna connect the dots. I want to promise, at the very least, by next we're gonna connect the dots, but we're working. Please follow on on this subject. The self-same Spirit. There's a quickening, there's revitalization, there's energizing, there's strengthening that comes from within. By that self-same Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Is that, for example, there's that song, something to the effect of, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave or from the death lives in us. Here it is, friends. For you sitting there looking at me, listening to me with such great attention this morning, I want us to get this, to move from that perspective, or as far as in our minds and in our hearts, from that thing of a collective of us, but getting it seated in our hearts that the self-same power, the self-same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead dwells in what? In me. Personalized. In me. in me, that is in you. So when you study God's word, when you see the past tense reality, you're right there. That's your tale, that's your story. That gets to line up with truth and reality based on what Jesus did, and that gets to be your experience in your walk. So he gave you the Spirit that you may know. The knowing is not just for head knowledge or heart knowledge, but also touches on experience. In your experience, in your walk, in your body, in your life, in your situation, in your circumstance. Wow. What am I doing What are you doing with that same power that raised Jesus up from the dead that dwells within? If we don't pay attention, as we were hearing last week, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, and the day star of conviction arises in our hearts. If we don't pay attention to God's word in this way and see it in the light of truth, as far as done, finished, accomplished, then there's likely to be a perpetuation of the struggle, continuing in that challenge. What do we do? What do we do with power?
Use it.
How?
Speak it.
So in other words, if you're going to say speak it, can we talk about voice activation?
Okay.
Voice activated power? For example, as an example, look at Luke 6:45. You know what? I'll just jump right to the tail end of it. I was going to read, but don't worry about it. A good man out of the abundance of his heart does what? Brings forth what? Good treasure. Okay? And look at the end of that passage. It says what? Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? His mouth speaks. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as a man is in his heart, what is it? So, one talks about position, state. From that state, that's how he is. That's what defines him. What defines you? What's your understanding of your true identity in relationship with God? Who are you? Where are you? Do you see yourself as healed? Do you see yourself as the healed of the Lord? If you see yourself as the healed of the Lord, what's going to happen? Your heart, where that understanding is, where that revelation is, where that insight is going to do what? It's going to speak. What are you going to speak?
What he says about me.
Yeah. And what he says about you has to have a distinguishing factor connected. Can you, friends, can you zero in and state the finished? Can what you speak align with the finished? Father, I thank you because I am the healed of the Lord. I give you praise because, and then you go at it. Attack that thing. I'm the healed of the Lord. Arthritis, pain, injury, whatever it is, bone on bone, all of that, however you want to call it. Name that thing, mention that thing. I said, you died to death. Cancer, you died to death right now in the name of Jesus. The enemy has no hold on me, no say in my walk, in my experience. Why am I expressing this? Why is this key? Why is this important? We have the same spirit of faith. We do something with it, friends. We don't keep silent. We speak God's word. Judy? Do you mind in a couple of minutes sharing your testimony as an example with the class?
Yeah.
try.
Okay. You understand, or are you okay, comfortable where you are?
Where do I begin?
What it was, how you stood, and what happened after that.
Well, it started with a heart attack, and then it went to stroke, and then I woke up in the hospital. I had been believing, I had on my scriptures, but well, anyway, then they said that I had a kidney disease and was going to have dialysis, and it just kept going downhill. But I decided to take a stand, say no, because God had paid for all that on the cross. I chose to believe that. And so I stood in faith and knowing that God was fighting my battle. That's what the Bible says. And I think what Satan was trying to get me to deny that God had done anything for me. Mm-hmm. And to not pay attention. Mm-hmm. And to start worrying. You know, that I was going to have be on dialysis. But but I took the test and relied on the test showing, well, I guess I wouldn't have had to rely on that because, you know, anyway. So the test came back that my, I didn't have SABA number 6.
Stage 5 of the...
I didn't have stage 5 kidney disease. I dropped a couple levels.
The doctor had to admit that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Because she was denying everything that they kept telling her. Mm-hmm. And she overrode it. She was going by what the word said. And I would go by what the doctor said, and I would remind her what the doctor said, but she wouldn't accept that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
She stood her ground through all those, and then the kidney doctor, she said she wanted to see a test. And they did a blood test and stuff on it, and they come back. But she was supposed to go then to dialysis. After they had the test to come in, and they called her back, and she went back, and the doctor sat there and had never said a word. The doctor said that she did not have stage 5.
Hallelujah.
She had to admit that it was back to stage 4. And she hasn't been back since.
Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, praise God. God is so faithful. Now, there's a lot in that. There's a lot more involved in there, so much so that basically the doctor gave, there were like 3 or 4 issues. The doctors listed that and told Judy that this can never be reversed. Right. They said, oh, this is your condition. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go on dialysis, and that's never going to change, as in it's irreversible. And how many times have we done tests or taken tests, and they said, oh, you have this. There's no cure. And then you have this. Guess what? You're going to live with it for the rest of your life. But the question is, whose report? Whose report? Whose report? Whose report shall you believe? Will you believe? 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also do what? We believe and therefore we speak. I like the contemporary English version in this wise. In the scripture it says, I spoke because I had faith. We have that same kind of faith, so we speak. What kind of faith do you have? Whatever kind of faith it is that you have will be that which does what? Which speaks. So the question is, what are you speaking? Sometimes we get in that prayer closet or on the knees or in the place of prayer, and I'm not saying that about anyone in this room, but how many times in ministering to someone, not necessarily here, but out there, is if it be God's will, Lord, if it be your will, or any kind of expression. How about, Lord, come and lay your healing hands on me or on that person so that they receive their healing. But we're expecting God to come and do what? And do. We're expecting something out of, I don't know, I don't know how to express this, friends, but faith speaks and your body hears that stuff. When I say hears, I'm talking about in reacting, in reactions. How are you going to stand? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I thought Mark 16, 17, 18, 19. Who's to lay hands? Who's empowered? And I guess we should start zeroing in and continue along the lines of the power we've been talking about.
Everyone that believes.
They that believe in me as a qualifier. The last portion in that scripture says they will do what? Lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? They shall. They shall recover. And that includes yourself, by the way.
Amen.
So that you can lay hands on that part. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the done reality of my healing. And right now, pain or whether it's pain, whether it's symptom, whether it's challenge, whatever it is, right now, you dissipate, you die to death, however the whole, but you must be speaking. Something termed irreversible, already dealt with by the power of God.
Amen.
Because guess what? What is in your heart also kind of determines or determines your stance, your posture. But I'm saying this morning, friends, we're approaching from a position of victory. A position, first, of triumph. And so, if there's any word of encouragement, let it not be that, oh, faith is, I want to get. The faith actually should be expressed in the area of seeing or recognizing, understanding, appreciating the truth that it has already been done, that I am already healed. That's the starting point. That's the middle point. That's the ending point. That's your status, the healed of the Lord. And as you do this, as you give your heart over in this way to his word, seeing the truth and appreciating it from that context of the done, then you get to see it done as done in your body. You know, it's interesting. Isaiah 53, verse 5, when it says, by his stripes you are healed. I guess I'll start from that point next week because time is far spent. But there's something I want to open up from there as we delve into this. And the point of this is to get us to see how that in our experience, we can walk in victory in the area of health and healing because that's who we are. I won't get into it now because time is far spent, but let's rise on our feet. Is anyone this morning challenged in any aspect as it concerns healing and health? I'd like for you to come forward boldly. Don't be shy, don't be bashful. God is here. His spirit is here. His life is here. There's change here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's victory here. Thank you, Lord. There is the experiencing of past tense reality here based on what Christ did. You say to yourself, oh, it's not physical, it's heart. It's a heart matter. Yeah, come forward as well. Don't hold back. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the healing manifestation already in this place. It's such a done, finished work. And we thank you because we get to experience this in our walk, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our bodies. Of a truth, by your stripes, we were healed. Thank you for all that you've done. And we just rejoice in this and we walk in this light as victors and as overcomers. To your praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your time. Back in time for the service at 10:45. Praise God. Praise God.